But I just want to share one principle with you, because when we're talking about the church motto, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested, that's the bait that God wants people to see so they make a choice to come to the Lord. And if they don't see that, they're not going to come. Turn with me to Psalms. I'm going to share one of, or maybe two scriptures. Psalm 34, verse 8, in the Amplified Classic Bible, says, O taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. We went out to a very nice restaurant on Friday. We were celebrating graduation and completion of the first year of college and all that good stuff with our grandchildren and our children. And the food in this place was spectacular. Spectacular. But as good as the food was, the presentation of it was even better. Our motto is how we present who we are. If you came into this church, and this church could have the word, power flowing, we walk through the door, you just pass out. But if you don't sense love, you're not going to receive anything. Because now these people, then all the other stuff will come. They're just after your money. But when we look, thinking about that restaurant and the way the food was preserved, if they had brought the same food out on a garbage can lid, we would have never known how good it was. Because ain't no way I'm eating off a garbage can lid. Would you? I'm not into dumpster diving. Taste and see if the Lord is good. If our behavior is not proper, no one will ever find out that the Lord is good. So to make sure that we are doing things the way we should be doing them, we have to make sure that God's Spirit is what's directing us and not something else. Excuse me, but I'm down in my notes. Romans 8, I'm going to share this and then I'm going to quit. Verses 1 to 14. See, that's why you're going to quit. You're going to give us 14 verses. And this is out of the Passion Translation. Apostle Paul says, so now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law is unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weaknesses. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. So now, every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in us, and we are free to live. Listen to this. We are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure in those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. If you're not living your life according to the flesh, to the Spirit, you're not of him. You're of that other guy. Now, Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. Side journey, a quick one. You don't have to give, you don't have to say, after all, I'm only human. You don't have to say that because it's a lie. See, I'm not a human being. No, you're a new spirit. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Period. That means you're not a Republican, not a Democrat. You're not black. You're not white. You're not male. You're not female. You're not Hebrew. You're not Palestinian. You are a Christian. Say, I am a Christian. And everything that we do, everything that we say, the way we carry ourselves about to do our goings on should scream out, I am a Christian. I'm not encouraging that anybody do it, but I changed my political status to independent because they didn't have Child of God on it as one of the choices. So I'm not identifying with being Republican or Democrat. So they're not going to include me in any polls that they take. I'm free to be who I was called to be. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. And here's a thought for us to think about. Verse 14 in the Passion Translation. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm a mature child of God. So I move according to the impulses of the Holy Spirit. I want to let you go, but something's screaming inside me. How do you know? Well, I said that was the last one. May I just share this? Yeah, I don't want to just take it for granted just because I'm the pastor. How many of you know that there should be evidence that you are who you say you are? There should be evidence. Undeniable, undisputed evidence. Well, in Galatians 5, verse 22, lets us know what should be seen in us by anyone who sees us. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Never allow any circumstance of any means to be above you displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You don't know what they did. I don't have to know what they did. And you need to forget what they did. How many of you have ever heard the statement, don't burn your bridges? Some bridges need to be burned. When I was driving up here today, two thoughts came in. One, the disciples were about to go someplace. I was looking up the scripture. I didn't come across it. Maybe you can find it for me, Minister Joe, where the apostles wanted to go someplace, but they said, but the Spirit forbade me. Why? God was directing their steps, and he didn't want them to go someplace, so he had the Holy Spirit tell them, don't go there. Don't go there. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him, so we may never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. We must forsake it. That means it's going to show up. Don't think for a moment that because we are who we are in Christ, nothing's going to come at us. Everything's going to come at us. Everything. But because everything's going to come, we need to differentiate. We need to sift through it. We need to find out, well, what's real? And some things can be made. With AI, they can make you say anything they want. So how do you know it's real? Well, the Bible tells us in John 13th or 15th chapter, around verse 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, has come, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He's going to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So the next time I'm with you, I promise I'll share with you the GPS analogy, because I don't have time to do it now. But it was more important for us, it's always more important for us to be led by the Holy Spirit in terms of what he wants shared with the people, regardless of preparation, regardless of time spent, regardless of anything. It doesn't matter what I have planned or what I wanted to share. I'm not up here in front of you to say the things that I want to say. I'm up here as an oracle, saying only those things that God tells me to say to you, because I don't know where you are. I don't know what you need to hear. God does. That's why usually before I minister, I say, Father, regardless of the words that come out of my mouth, let each person hear exactly what you need them to hear, based on your purpose and plan for their lives as individuals, as members of the body as whole, and in particular members of this congregation. Because it's important. I could say, Mary had a little lamb, and you hear something entirely different. Well, what God spoke to you is more important than you hearing me say, Mary had a little lamb. So when you're taking notes, it's not as important to write down every scripture verse I say. What's important is you write down what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about what a scripture we shared or a statement we made. Everyone say HGR. That's Holy Ghost Revelation. I have an HGR for you. I'm closing. John 16:12 talks about the Comforter coming. Thank you, Helper. So, Father, we thank you for the time we spent with you this morning. We love singing praise and worship to you. We love the way you moved through our praises. And we're not surprised because you said you inhabit the praises of your people. And we're your people. Thank you for moving on behalf of our young people. Thank you for building them up, encouraging them, empowering them to do the things that you have planned that only they can do. Thank you for sending them places where they'll have the influence. And thank you for teaching them how to shake the dust off their feet if they're not received. Thank you, Father, for their families, natural families, church families, and anyone that comes into their presence will be the proper example of living a godly life. And if it's not proper, Lord, expose it to them so they'll know who to fellowship with and they'll know who to avoid. We thank you for the hedge that you have surrounding them while they're in this time of being trained, learning who and learning about and how to operate and who they are, who they really are in Christ. Thank you for teaching them how to filter out the world versus the spirit. And again, thank you for the adults in their life, that they're the proper examples. And if not, if there's any adults in the sound of my voice and you know you've been sharing some things that's not quite right, that you'll go to them and ask for forgiveness so that we're all on the same page, because there's only one Holy Spirit and he causes the body to operate in absolute unity. Thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Is there anyone in here who's never received Christ as Savior? I kind of sort of think I know everyone in here, but I just don't want to take anything for granted. I know it seems like, you know, I'm like the game, the Hokey Pokey. I pop in and I pop out. Well, we'll be away for a few days on vacation, so I won't see you next Sunday. It'll probably be two or three Sundays before we get to see you again. But when I do see you again, we will talk about the GPS analogy. Say, Pastor Carr, don't forget the GPS analogy. Okay, I won't. I won't.